this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United hammer the Hammers at the London Stadium, sir. Two stonewall penalties for Ronaldo. Wasn't the most inspiring stuff from United. Subs at 11. McFred. But all that matters is Manchester United walk away with all 3 points down in London, sir. How you feeling? David De Gea, sir. What can I say about him?
Sir, breaking news. They have just arrested the VAR crew outside of the London Stadium. Take him to jail, sir. The worst. I mean, like, I don't know what VAR is for. I'm like speechless as far as the Ronaldo penalties. Then they give the handball to Luke Shaw. Unfair all around. Usually the ref kind of balances it out. Two stonewall pens, the handball. No one gets a penalty. Mark Noble coming off the bench cold. David Moyes, tactical genius, the drama. Dave saves the redemption for our Spaniard, the world number one. What a day at the office, sir. Unbelievable. Win 3 points to go around for Manchester United.
David De Gea has saved us.
I love it. Vintage Dave. Vintage Dave didn't even have this in his locker. You know, we saw it against Wolves. That was the best game we've seen out of David De Gea, probably since that Arsenal game, the double Sanchez save. But today, busting out a late penalty against, who are you, Mark Noble, dirty, scrappy hammer player. I couldn't even hang for 90 minutes today, bringing him off cold.
Ball don't lie.
Cold.
Ball don't lie.
Moyes, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking there, but I appreciate it. And what a great save. Strong hand from De Gea. You can see how much it meant to the rest of the players up in the Spaniard. Wasn't great from the United today. Wasn't good enough. Didn't like the 11. It was negative given who they're playing against. Acting like you're playing against a city side or something. But all that matters, CR7 back on the score sheet. Jesse should be playing for West Ham United. Scored bangers. It wasn't even just a goal. It was a banger. Top shelf banger. Didn't celebrate. The guy's going back. He's going. I don't know what that was about. Maybe respect to his fans that he played under or the teammates he played with. But the no celebrate like Ronaldo against us, you know, when he was playing for Real. I don't know what that was. He's definitely coming back to London, maybe. What do you think about that?
Sir, the metaphor for this game is, you know, you've had a few dark ales, you grab a meat pie, and then there's almost like too much spice in the meat pie, too many ingredients in the meat pie, but then it ends up tasting well. It tastes good. The aftertaste, you know, it's like you bite into it, it's like almost got too much going on, but hey, it's 3 points, we'll take it. It tastes great. You have another dark ale, you finish the meat pie. I mean, what a game, what a match we could talk about. Sir, McFred midfield has started. Uh-oh, midfield shaky. Tough game all around. United looks sloppy. West Ham in it. Bruno hits the bar. Ronaldo, CR7, he's back. Then all of a sudden you get the no VAR calls. It's just this game, the ups and the downs, this team. It's going to kill me, sir.
And only in sex masochism. Then it is allowed.
It's just like, can we just have an easy game?
Let me pie it out. I'm still reaching for that one. I'm with you. This game was brutal. Brutal watch for you. Yeah,
somehow
fans.
It comes together. The flavors come together somehow.
You know what? Just with that gravy. I'll take a cup of gravy, a couple of meat pies. How you doing? How you doing? Today, I don't know. It wasn't for the fans. You said this guy isn't a big rewatcher. He's like, I'm rewatching that game. But two stonewall penalties. It was crazy. And have a David De Gea redemption arc. Calling them when it was just like against us, you know, everything against you, the league against you, VAR, what you for? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about how much stuff they're getting right on the officiating side of the camp since last year. And, you know, we have seen it to a certain extent in terms of some of those really soft calls not being had. And, you know, you could argue whether the penalty shout against Young Boys, that wasn't as clear and obvious as these two fouls today against our boy Ronaldo, who looked great today, looked dangerous in the box, liked what he was doing. I think it really broke down in the middle of the park. But Should have been two penalties. Should have been at least one penalty. The Zuma one was egregious. The one before that, where he just got kneed over, was also egregious. But hey, hate us because they ain't us. Ball don't lie, as you said.
Martin Atkinson, that was the referee. That's the Muppet on the field, not calling it. And then you expect Darren England and Scott Ledger, his assistant, to be able to bail him out of these terrible calls. Look, I get the idea of not calling a penalty, but the fact is, when you watch the Ronaldo step over, he's in the box, beats the man. The defender extends the leg where it should not be. Fouls Ronaldo. The VAR has to say, hey, ref, you got it wrong.
Take a look.
You got to watch it. Stonewall penalty. Now, I understand young boys away, 50-50. I'm giving that 50-50 pen, sir. This one, 100%. The Zuma one, I'm going to say Zuma didn't get the ball.
It's tighter, though. It's a tighter call than this one. That one was obvious.
He didn't get the ball. He got all man in the box. Again, penalty. If you give the first one, you probably don't give that one. Understandable. Because you can't be giving out penalties, sir, like consolation prizes. I understand that concept. But VAR, fans deserve better. I like the position the league has of let them play. I really enjoy that style of play. Like, let it be physical. But in the box, the scrutiny from VAR, there's no way that that cannot be called a penalty. I hope they get the post-match report. They got it wrong. Sir, they should be demoted back to the championship, these guys.
I mean,
that's horrible. I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. Get a taxi back to Manchester.
I'm going
to
be playing this board all day. It's one of those days. You know, like we got it just... It could have easily been points dropped. You know, in some ways, United's performance, we were the better side. I think we really could have rolled this West Ham team if we had chosen a different outfit. I think the middle of the park let us down today. But even with the McFred combo, we were the better team. And those late penalties, they were egregious. Then they get a penalty at the death. Handball. It probably is a handball, but like, you know, it's in an unnatural position, whatever. It's a pen, but you know those other two. It just felt a little bit unfair. But to have the Moyes bring on the cold, cold, cold Mark Noble, and then have him get saved penalty. What a great penalty save from De Gea. So that's all that matters.
Sir, I would have been all 3 points. I would have been on the pitch.
The fields are high. That McFred is still like I wouldn't rewatch the game just because of the McFred combo.
VAR aside, referees aside, sir, sloppy from United. Honestly, this slop shop slow start, like slow start first 20 minutes. You have a rough loss against Young Boys. You think they're going to be ready for a match against West Ham. It is away at the London Stadium. For me, the biggest disappointment is how you start in that first 20 minutes. I felt like we needed to have the energy. We needed the tempo, the focus, our concentration. That's Sir Alex famously told Harry Maguire. We lacked that. We looked just not up for a match again. And so for me, we struggled, like you said, middle of the park. It was way too sloppy for Manchester United. We should be controlling this and just dictating play. West Ham is a good side, sir. But for an angry United trying to right the wrong of Young Boys, I expect a little more. And games like this, look, this one we got away with, I think there's a De Gea, huge momentum for him, huge confidence boost for him. Jesse Lingard, huge confidence boost for him. A lot of positives are going to drive this team forward. We got away with another one today. Can't keep getting away with them. Eventually, the performances have to be professional or to a level over the 38 matches to win the league. If you're winning the league, you do need a few games to get away with, but too sloppy, in my opinion, from United today.
No, I mean, between the West Ham game and the Wolves game, those are some getting away with the ones. Now, we played a lot better today than we played against Wolves and we got that win. But there are some positives to talk out of it. The Bruno-Ronaldo connect is like fit and firing, and those two are on another level in terms of how they're connecting. I thought the D played well. You know, we gave up an own goal, tough deflection, and then David De Gea stopping their second goal. It was the middle of the park. Like, how do you start McTominay? He just came back from groin surgery. Not a groin injury, groin surgery. He was cut open, and he's starting. It's like that was to me, and he didn't play well. He looked off the step, and he just
grew
like,
into it. He grew did grow into it,
but he wasn't ready to start a game against West Ham, where it's a team that like yeah they're pushing up above their weight, but they're not a Liverpool or a City or a Chelsea that is going to throw it at you. I think you have to be a little bit more confident with the midfield that you put out. Put a Matic and Pogba. Or a Matic, Johnny Van de Beek.
Shout out, right? Matic came on. Great ball in the Jesse. I mean, like, oh, well, I got the subs right.
A little late,
but
though.
Maybe Matic should have been starting. This is a tight, this is a trap game, sir. Matic starting here, I think we see a different game for Manchester United. Alex, you act like you've never had a meat pie. When you bite into it, you're uncertain, but after a few dark ales, you're feeling it.
Sorry, I don't need a few dark ales to enjoy myself a meat pie.
Alex has eaten many a meat pie, sir. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You want to support independent fan content, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We have no ads on this podcast, and we don't intend to, sir. We've been reached out to by many of the products you hear on every other podcast, sir. I'm going to leave out their names. We do not want sponsors. We think it breaks up the pie. We don't like the feeling of it. And plus, seeing Alex struggle through ad reads while entertaining, I think I'm good.
Yeah, this guy's saying, I would love for you to just open the pod with just a, hey, I'm selling this. That's not how we do it. The only thing we're selling is Manchester United hype mode.
Exactly.
Manchester United muppetry. And a place to talk a little smack. We could talk smack like we want to if we were owned and operated by, you know, sponsors.
Yeah, and in a world where there's too many ads everywhere, so we decided to go with the direct support route. So we want you, the fans, to support us directly, support that biased fan take from the couch, and Patreon's probably the best way to do that. We're giving away pin, sticker, scarf, shirts. You can sign up for 4 tiers. Great way to support the podcast. Shout out to Deep and Brody this week for joining. You guys are the real MVP. It goes a long way for keeping this small-time operation running. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Great fan blog content there. All for fans, by fans. Also, some great merchandise as well. If you click on store, sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost any money at all. Here's what you got to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. You've already written one before. Trust me, I'm not going to tell anybody. No big deal. And take that review, 5-star review, send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mail and address. And I will personally pack you some sweet American Red Devils swag and send it to your door absolutely free. Great way to support the pod. Doesn't cost a dollar, and it goes a long way to helping us get found organically. Sir, what are we talking about this week? We're talking about West Ham recap, West Ham preview, double West Ham crime.
Let's get into it, sir. West Ham United. We have some spotty internet in the podcast bunker. We're supposed to be trying to play some music here. I don't think it's working, sir. We are upgrading your internet shortly.
brick by brick, step by step. We're getting better every day.
You want to help us out? Support us on Patreon because Alex is like some five megabyte internet. We got that dial up here in the podcast bunker. The match is Manchester United 2, West Ham 1 at the London Stadium. Game week 5, sir. Let's get into that lineup. We had world number 1, David De Gea in net. Luke Shaw left back, Maguire, Varane, center back pairing. Can't complain there. Juan Bissaka, the redemption arc, sir. Almost had another pen. We got to mention that. Maybe not another pen, but maybe another red card. McTominay, Fred midfield, Pogba on the left, Fernandez in the hole, Greenwood on the right, and CR7. Viva Ronaldo up top leading the line. How are you feeling about this 11, sir? Saw it early.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah, we did see it early. 5:30. How we doing? To all the West Coasters out there waking up early. Appreciate you. So I like this 11 except for the midfield. Like, McFred never makes sense to me. McTominay just came back from clearly not a serious injury because he turned around so quickly, but I think starting him was a mistake. I think he looked off the pace, and then just doing so conservative with McFred is like, you know, it's West Ham. Like I said, I keep saying it. It's not PSG. You know, they just don't have this team that needs to be nullified when you have a back four of Shaw, Maguire, Varane, and Wan-Bissaka, plus De Gea, world number one in keep, in net.
Sir, bingo.
That's my issue with it. And that's where the game, it broke down there. Dude, we couldn't pass through because McTominay didn't look fit and Fred looked like Fred.
Look, I said during the match, McFred is that warm blanket that Ole uses. He just loves it. McTominay is like, you saw Sancho get integrated in the squad. He gets a sub, gets a start. McTominay, he's like, oh, I need him back. He like throws him right. I couldn't believe it. Why not Modric, Fred? Modric, Pogba. Also, why push Pogba up on the left when you have options there? You could even play Greenwood there. You could play Jesse on the right. You could play Jesse on the left. You could play. There's a lot of options there. I think Pogba has to be in the two here against West Ham. And we saw it today because like you said, the link-up play wasn't there. Slop shop in the middle of the park, and then West Ham grew into the game. That's how they got their goal. We kind of like really let them have it. We let them into it. You can't let a team into the game at home, sir. And you know, I think it starts with that midfield too. Nothing against McTominay because of the injury; he wasn't ready. But you know, obviously, we'll have a chat about Fred. So let's jump into the first half.
United have more of the ball at the start, sir, but no penetration really. And then it's the other way where United has to show their worth. 17th minute, Ron put in a great block after Maguire cheaply gives the ball away. He's getting hounded down by one of the West Ham players. Should have done better there from the captain, but Ron showing that Rolls Royce defender skill set that he's got.
24th minute, Ronaldo, first attempt at net. Straight at the keeper, Fabianski. He had a few good saves, sir. So at a certain point, up there goes the internet.
Better late than never. This is great.
Sir, better late than never. 27th minute. This one a moment, I think, against the run of play. Bruno gets a half volley pushed onto the post by Fabianski. But this first 30 minutes from United were not good. I felt like we kind of started, didn't do much with it. Then we started opening up. West Ham gets into the game. They didn't do much with it when they had the ball. But in the 30th minute, sir, every blind squirrel finds an acorn.
Working the angle cleverly. Here's Bowen. But it's space this time.
Sir, you don't look happy watching that.
I don't know why. You would just like bleed it in. It's, they scored.
Walk me through your feelings on this.
Where's
one
the center of the park? Where's my double CDMs breaking that down? Obviously, it's a bad deflection, so you know you can't do much about that. Technically it's an own goal on Varane, and there's nothing De Gea can do. But there's nobody in the middle of the park breaking down the play.
I think I see Fred off to the left there
missed.
Walking.
He swung and a miss.
You know. So again, just like. You're right. You're playing two CDMs in front of the bank of four. How is everyone that out of position? Obviously a crap goal. But these types of opportunities shouldn't even come if we're organized, in sync, sir, playing with tempo, everyone doing their job. It just seems that eventually West Ham finds us completely disorganized, slop shop city, and they're able to benefit. Big goal at home for West Ham. Exactly what you don't want to do away.
Some of the passing is fucking scratchy.
Scratchy. It was scratchy all day, and I think it's because this team was not in the best position to kind of take advantage of that West Ham side, pass through the middle. Tomlinson looked off the pace, shouldn't have been starting, no way, no how. And Fred just like he, you know, best times, worst times, I think he had a couple decent moments, but in that first 30, 40 minutes, he did not look his best Fred self.
The first half pass map was everything side to side, anything forward, he did give it away. Sir, this team did react. Tough first 30 minutes. This goal woke us up. A common theme we've seen under the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. A lot of comebacks away especially. And this team was ready for it. So, you know, CR7, let's go.
Sochek with the dominant touch to get it away. Lash is trying to help it further forward. Manchester United able to recycle it back in from Fernandes again. Cristiano taps it in. Manchester United back on level terms. The headline act who breaks defences, breaks records, and breaks hearts. What a piece.
Sir, viva Ronaldo. I love it. Absolutely love it, sir. CR7, what a hit. Not offsides. Nice try, VAR. The trolls.
They got that right. I mean, knowing us, knowing the game the officiators were having against United, they would have called this off. They've definitely improved that from last year to this year. The whole, like, if you're off by a hair, you're off. Now it's kind of the benefits going to the runner, which I'm happy to see. So great goal. Great move by Fred. Fred got the pass in early, which was actually good. Like you said, he's like the worst of Fred, the best of Fred. So, but then Bruno, of course, magnifique go, unbelievable ball over the top. And that combo between the R2 Portuguese killers up front, is it might be the difference this season. But hey, what's not to like about Ronaldo? First good touch and then follows up exactly like he should. Game on.
42nd minute, another great opportunity for Ronaldo. Fabianski, I mean, he was all over Ronaldo. Other than, and even he saved that first attempt. Ronaldo got the follow-up on the first goal. We go into half 1-1, sir. How are you feeling on the couch?
You know, we think we know it all. You're looking at that 11, and we've been hammering it home since we started the pod. It's like the McFred's killing you. You think you got to make that change early. He ran it to the 88th minute. And like, he got the subs right, probably the wrong order and probably the wrong timing, but Matic came in. We looked great for the last 5 minutes of the game, even though we conceded a penalty. But, I mean, that was my big thing. It was like, it's clearly not working, but Ole likes to trust his men.
But after the goal, I agree. The first 30 minutes, you look at that starting lineup, you look at how we played, didn't get it right. I don't think the tactics worked out. I don't think we were organized. I think it was sloppy. But after that goal, we woke up, looked better. So the McFred ended up working, but we always have to concede that goal. In some way, to get this team going is kind of strange. Conceding a goal gets the best out of us on the road. That seems to be, like I said, common theme for United as a fan. Not good for, you know, the health of your heart.
My blood pressure ain't good. I need extra doctors on this United side.
So how about we just come out,
play good,
play well from the jump? I'd prefer that, sir. Jumping in second half, United come out on the front foot, then fade. 47th minute, Ronaldo with another great chance. Great pass from Bruno, but Ronaldo picks the wrong angle. Went far post. You said he should have gone near post. Again, Fabianski.
Had a
huge
game.
Save on
Had a
Ronaldo.
Very good game.
Great save. 69th minute. Aaron Wan-Bissaka here. Lucky to avoid the penalty after a challenging Socek. He came in from behind and clipped him. Ball came in, arguably not playable. VAR did not call anything here. But AWB. He was like that challenge against Young Boys. You think he's got to be tidy today. Did he get away with one here? I don't think it's quite a pen.
But
came in behind him in the box. Pass was coming through. Probably not on point, but a little sloppy from AWB.
No doubt. And I thought he was good this game, but this was like a moment where, hey, man, you just had a red card a game before. Straight red.
Calm down.
That like blew the game. So calm down. Exactly. Calm down. Try to get back into this match, trying to win it. Last thing we need is to give away a pen from like a non-chance even. It's like it was kind of a sloppy challenge. So
Credit to him. He got the foul. Credit to him for making it look like he got fouled.
I don't know how that happens.
Like in real time, it looked like he got fouled, but in slow motion, he fouled. So check. So 72nd minute. Ole finally dying for the subs, sir.
This is the subs you made?
Sir, we're thirsty for trophies. We're hungry for signings. Dying for subs under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Lingard and Sancho on for Pogba and Greenwood. Don't know how Pogba comes off the pitch. Would have liked to see him go into the two, whether you take McTominay out because he needs a blow, because he just came back, put Pogba into the two with Fred. I thought he could link the attack much better, but I don't know anything. I'm just a fan giving you my biased take on the couch. 77th minute, Ronaldo kneed down by Calfall in the box. Clear pen, beats the man.
Not even close.
Leg goes out. I mean, it's a penalty. Penalty to Manchester United. We go up 2-1. Just kidding. Atkinson doesn't give it. VAR, bunch of Muppets, sir. Can't say what I really think because, you know, I would be cursing like a sailor here.
I prefer really not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble.
I don't like to complain.
And I don't want to be in big trouble.
I'm going
to
speak.
There's two of them.
Jose.
There's two of them. It was so bad there was two bad penalty calls.
No, but this is offensively.
This one's the worst of
like,
the two.
Like the Young Boys one we talk about, but as fans, we kind of know like the game is better if that's not called.
Yeah, that would
you know
be a
what
lucky
I'm saying?
Pen.
This is...
It's egregious.
There's something structurally wrong with refereeing and the backup refereeing system where something like this should never be missed. And since it is, like there has to be repercussions. Like these guys either have money on the game, they're either fans of West Ham.
Oh,
something is
jobs.
So off here that they need to be like their history needs to be reviewed. They need to be like punished for making this like this error, like VAR. There's no point having VAR. There's no point. This is a penalty, stonewall penalty. I don't think I've ever seen a more like 100%, 110% penalty, no matter what the team, and they don't call it. Apparently, there was a VAR issue with Man Shitty that got overturned. It was a red card penalty, and then they overturned it. So VAR is kind of not having a great start. When it gets involved or doesn't get involved, it's rough.
Well, it got involved in the late call, and this was a really obvious one. So it's a little egregious when it's like it's so clear and obvious. Yeah, obviously the one against Young Boy is that we're reaching. But this one, it's like Ronaldo didn't even have to make a meal of it because he stuck out such a bad knee. And he beat him so bad, right? He like beat him, went past him, puts a knee out, takes him down.
If the defender doesn't stick his leg out and Ronaldo initiates the contact into the defender, no penalty. But the defender, after the move,
it was so obvious.
Stuck his leg out, impeded Ronaldo to the ball after he was beat. Penalty, sir. 88th minute sub, modest for Fred. Game-changing sub from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Give him credit, because in 89th minute, Matic would come good putting it in to Jesse.
Or just head it.
Jesse Lingard scores what may well prove to be the winner. A lack of celebration out of respect to the West Ham United supporters who took in.
Or just head it.
I mean, what a goal from Jesse Lingard. Unbelievable, but not to celebrate?
I don't know about that.
It's like, you're not a West Ham player, bro. You never
You're going to re-up his contract? The guy's not celebrating? Like, re-up his contract?
Ronaldo did the C against Manchester United, for the record, when he played for Juventus.
Second time. When he scored for Real, he didn't rub it in. When he scored for Juve, he's like, who?
I think he pointed his abs, right? Wasn't that was like
took
the
shirt off.
Yeah, exactly. That was a little much. But like the Jesse respecting the West Ham, I'm not a hell of a goal.
Great goal.
Good for Jesse. He needed it after giving the ball away at Young Boys.
I forgot about that.
Game changer. Matic comes on. Looks like he should have been playing the whole game.
Whole game.
Gets it into Jesse. Jesse with a banger. That is not an easy goal. That's the reason why we have 3 points. Sir, and after that 91st minute, Zuma lunges into Ronaldo. VAR doesn't bother. Another penalty for me. Zuma doesn't, if he touches the ball in any way, shape, or form in this tackle, it is not a penalty. He did not get the ball. He got all of Ronaldo. The ball goes out for a West Ham goal kick.
I know.
It should be a corner. If there's no foul and there's no penalty, it has to be a corner.
Because he got the ball.
This one, again, not as egregious as the one before, but still, I'm going to say 1.5 penalties we missed out here.
No, without a doubt. And like you said, also, it's like if he actually got a clear tackle in, then it would have gone off Zuma and therefore be a corner. So it was almost like he didn't get a pen and it's West Ham's ball. It almost feels like they have money in the game. I mean, the officiating in the English Premier League is bad. We've seen some bad calls, but like the accumulation of bad calls in this game.
This is the worst. Your lips are moving and you're complaining about something.
That's windy.
But it was bad today. That's like as bad of as calls as you see. Because this one was a tough one, but if you have VAR for that reason, the one in the 77th minute wasn't even close. Like that was like, he kneed him over. It wasn't like a little foot. It was like a knee.
Sir, in like the 15 plus years of English Premier League football we've watched, there's a lot of calls that might be wrong. Like the Drogba offsides that cost us a title is one that comes to mind, but a ref is going to make that error, right? And there is no VAR. But here there is VAR, and these calls go against the spirit of the game, right? This is as a fan, I feel dead inside seeing these calls, because what's the point in watching? There's no, like, you have a referee who gets it wrong, you have a backup, and you have a replay. How do you not get it right, sir?
This is why you watch, sir. That's why you watch.
Absolutely, and ball don't lie at the end of the day. But the best part about Alex and I watching the game together is after Jesse scores the goal, I'm feeling like we got it locked up, and Alex thinks we're going to blow it.
It's not over.
And I was like, there's no way we can blow it. Free kick goes in. Luke Shaw handball. Clear handball.
Yeah.
It was going to be.
They got that one right.
As soon as they saw that, it was like, yes, he's going to get a penalty. Moyes puts in Mark Noble.
Off the bench.
Cold as ice.
Noble! Saved by De Gea! It's an incredible stop by David De Gea!
Mark Noble.
Sorry, watch that again.
Noble! Saved by De Gea!
It's a great save. It's not just a save, it's a great save. Saving it from the trailing arm because he overjumped.
Sorry, one more.
Noble! Saved by De Gea!
The look on De Gea's face after he saved it was just like, I'm back, baby.
I'm back, baby!
Let's go!
I'm worth every cent of that big money contract, sir. Good for him. Good for David De Gea. Good for the team rallying around their world number one keeper who hasn't saved a penalty in like 5 years. Hey, never found a better time to do it. That would have been bad. That would have really like turned some dark clouds around Old Trafford and Manchester United if we had dropped points today. All the muppetry, the unfairness. I hate whinging, but that would have been egregious. But David De Gea saving the day. What a save. What a game. What a 3 points.
That should be 6 points, sir. Like winning a game like that is, you know, it's just survive. We survived West Ham away. On to the next one, sir. Let's get into the stats. West Ham 39% of the ball. United 61% of the ball. Shots on target 10-3. I'll tell you, the stat line reads totally different than the game looked. We were all over the place. The reaction, United recovered 35 points from losing position in the Premier League since the start of last season, almost twice as many as any other side. How long can we keep this up? And West Ham's London Stadium is a 66th different stadium that Cristiano Ronaldo has scored at in matches played in Europe's Big Five leagues, scoring at more unique venues than any other player since his United debut, ahead of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's done it at 64. And including shootouts, David De Gea has saved a penalty for the first time since April 2016 for club and country, conceding 40 consecutive penalties.
40.
11 of them against Villarreal.
Yeah, that was
11 of them against Villarreal before saving Mark Noble's stoppage time penalty today. Ball don't lie. And Jesse Lingard is the 47th player to score for and against West Ham in the Premier League. Excluding own goals, West Ham have had more players score for and against them than any other side in the competition, sir. Jesse Lingard doesn't celebrate against West Ham. He loves them so much, sir. What do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
As the game went on, he seemed to get more and more frustrated with the fact that he felt like he was earned a penalty. And in the end, I think it was three that he thought he was earned. How many do you think it was?
Two.
Which two?
First and the last. I think they're Stonewall, and you can't even argue against them. First one, the lad just he puts his foot out, Cristiano runs straight, and he's fouled. Last one, Paul had a foul against him, Kurt Zuma. He didn't touch him, but he went over him. So why is Cristiano's second or third appeal not a penalty? Hopefully it won't be Cristiano is never going to get a penalty.
As the game went on.
I think Ole's right. He's never going to get a penalty. And if those aren't given, I don't know what is. So whatever, sir, we're winching. But the day, you know what? Actually, this could be good for the team.
I love it.
Sir,
never been a better time to beat West Ham 2-1. Two missed
never
penalties.
Been a better time not to have a penalty called, because you know what happens when they call a penalty for Manchester United?
Who's
Ronaldo and Bruno duke it out.
Fight night.
Fight night on the penalty spot for who's going to take it.
Yeah, basically.
Right. And if Ronaldo, you know, so we can get into that hypothetical later, but that we are avoiding that, which might be good for the dressing room at a certain point. Sir, we have a next match. Guess what? It's against West Ham. Old Trafford EFL Cup, sir. Wednesday, September 22nd, 11:45 a.m. Pacific. So not that early of a wake up, 2:45 Eastern. It's the third round of the EFL Cup, sir. EFL Cup, what is it?
Tell us about it.
Why do we play it, sir? Well, it's sponsored by the number one energy drink in the UK. Carabao.
I don't think it's number one. I think people
are Carabao Cup.
No one's saying I'll take a Carabao and vodka.
Carabao RBC, vodka, sir.
RBV, Red Bull vodka.
So we could go to the history of Carabao energy drink.
We're good.
I don't know much about it. It's a Thai energy drink. launched in 2002 by Carabao. Sir, can't say
sir, it. Sir, it's not even the most popular energy drink in Thailand.
Thailand's second. Okay, this is Thailand's second most popular energy drink.
Behind Red Bull.
So they should call it Thailand's second most popular energy drink cup. But historically, the Football League Cup, a.k.a. the EFL Cup, a.k.a. the Carabao Cup, a.k.a. second most popular energy drink in Thailand Cup, has been played since 60-61, and it is one of the three top-tier domestic football competitions in England. There are a lot of different ones for the lower leagues as well, if you're not familiar, but obviously it's EFL Premier League FA Cup. It concludes in February, which is an interesting component of it, long before the other two, which end in May. And it was introduced by the league as a response to the increasing popularity of European football because everyone was so focused on Europe. They're like, why don't we add another cup competition domestically? It's played amongst the top four levels of English football, 92 clubs in total. That's why we're starting our first match in the third round because the League One, League Two, and Championship play the first two rounds. Then the top tier enters into the third round. So there's buys based on league levels to ensure higher-ranked teams enter in the late rounds, like I said, and they defer the entry of teams still involved in Europe. Winners do receive the EFL Cup. There have been three designs of this trophy. The current one is also the original, so it's kind of been all over the board ever since the 60s. Sir, EFL Cup, we'll take it. And it's a qualifier, by the way, for the UEFA Europa Conference League, which Tottenham are currently in, LOL. There 61 years of football, and the most successful clubs in the competition, Liverpool, Man City, current champions, City, hold 8 titles, LOL.
They love the Carabao Cup, but I'll tell you what, I think if you get the Carabao Cup, you win a year's supply of Carabao energy drink. I don't think they supply that stuff in the Old Trafford dressing room. I'm going to guess.
But the one thing about this cup competition is interesting, you always play usually smaller opposition. We drew West Ham, kind of unlucky here. You know, West Ham are going to be tough, but I would expect a lot of rotation here given, you know, this shouldn't be a cup competition that we should be that focused on compared to the Champions League, everything else we have going on. So against West Ham, I do expect a heavy rotation team, sir. This is right up your alley.
We are thirsty and hungry. So this is like actually...
But a lot of players need a break.
I know, but you know what? Ole needs a trophy, and this is a great trophy to win just because it's early in the season that you can win it. Buy yourself some good favor for the rest of the season. And there's a reason that City at times prioritizes it because it's like he knows it's just like put it in the bank. Trophy. Put it on, you know, put it on the list. It's a shit trophy to win. It's the fourth most important trophy.
No one's going to remember how many times Pep won this cup.
I know, but it would help.
Oh, everyone will remember
if he silverware for United yet. So
finish the blank. Everyone will remember if he won or lost
the title.
Blank.
Champions League title.
Champions either. League. He's already won the title. So no, everyone will remember if he won blank. It's Champions League. I think United, I'm not worried about this. Because I've gotten rid of the, we need a trophy, let's win the Europa League, let's win the EFL. That mentality's out the door. CR7's here. What is this cup? What is this energy drink?
Who?
It's not even the most popular one in Thailand.
Second most.
EFL, we won EPL or Champions League or bust. That is it for United. I do not care about this. I don't care about Hans and Franz. I don't care about conference leagues or nothing.
FA Cup?
Sir, FA Cup, yes.
The
history of the FA Cup, it is the premier cup competition in England. That one is important. Although fans lately have not rated it highly, if you read the history of it, it is a very important cup, one that we need another of. Probably would like the Champions League number one, but I'll take FA Cup number three, EFL number four, sir.
Not like that order.
EPL.
Something. I see anything.
Something.
Hungry, starving.
Thirsty. Versus West Ham United, we have won 70, drawn 32, lost 45. First time we played them was February 1911. We lost 2-1 in the FA Cup. Speaking of, sir, we've gone through all this on the last podcast, but quick history on a quick recap on West Ham's start to the league. Battered Leicester City 4-1, drew Crystal Palace, drew Southampton. They beat Dynamo Zagreb Thursday. The tight turnaround, they played very well. That's something that we didn't talk about. They played Thursday Europa League, and they came back. made it real difficult for us today. 2-1, sir. And then we got on Wednesday against Moisey's man again. I mean, it's just one of those where it's going to be at home. It's going to be at Old Trafford. So that's a benefit to United. But midweek.
And if you're going to pick a game that of the two that you want to win the one in the league more. EFL Cup doesn't matter as much. But we want to be winning wherever we're playing. So good opportunity to play some of the players that are looking for minutes. I'm looking at you, Donny van de Beek. Martial, I'm sure, could use a run out. So, hey, good rotation. Maybe it's time for a little Tom Heaton show. Give David De Gea a blow. I don't know how Dino's doing on his road back, but we know the Hammers. We know who to expect. David Moyes will be looking at that trophy. He wants some Carabao. He wants to get a Carabao shower.
Absolutely. The club was founded in 1895 as Thames Ironworks, reformed in 1900 as West Ham United, sir. They play at the London Stadium, their former home, the Bowling Ground. They played there since 1904, over 100 years, and then they moved to London Stadium. London Stadium's not easy to play at. We figured that out today, sir. Their best bit of form was in the 60s and 70s. They won the FA Cup 3 times, 64, 75, 80. And I believe they were the runners up in the FA Cup in 23 and 2006. They have reached 2 major European finals, winning the European Cup Winners' Cup in 1965 and finishing runners-up in the same competition in 1976. EFL Cup seems like the perfect competition for West Ham. I think Moyes will play a stronger side. I think Ole will try to get away with some rotation. The big news is Mikel Antonio is going to be back. So one thing we have not discussed is West Ham were missing their main man today, and we barely beat him.
Well, they didn't have a lot doing, you know, to be fair. Like, we got cut open that one time, of
Antonio
course.
Antonio would
big
bully.
Deflected. No, Antonio's a difference maker. He's a very good player, their best player, I would say. Declan Rice, did he look like a 100 million pound player today? I don't think so. But Antonio, the form he's been in to start this season, he's looked lights out, physicality, strong. He's good in the air. Also, his touch has looked pretty good this season as well. So if they're going to be rotating center backs on our side, which I know we should be doing, he could be the threat because they're going to want to get him back up into form.
Sir, you know, Van Gaal says it, but what Antonio is going to do to Lindelof is only allowed in, you know.
And only in sex masochism. Then it is allowed.
That's right. That's where Eric Bailly comes in. Body the boy.
Look, they play the 4-2-3-1 like we saw today. Declan Rice is essential. Battle will be won in the middle of the park. I would like Ole to be putting Donny in a two. I don't know exactly who he's going to play there, but Donny has to be seen against West Ham. I think it'd be a great test. Like I said, a lot of rotation. Ole can get clever here, get a few looks on United. I think he'll be surprised to see what Donny could do in the middle of the park. For Manchester United. Hopefully this is the catalyst to see him start more. Jumping the physio room, looking at injuries. Marcus Rashford, sorry, he's in training. I'll tell you what, he looks yoked.
He looks yoked.
People say Donny looks yoked.
No.
Rashford looks yoked. Like, watch out. Marcus Rashford, healthy. Oof. Watch out, sir.
Playing with CR7, his idol. And he looks so ready to go. He just looked like he came back fit. And he's going to offer another dimension to this side. So excited. Because these players that are coming back are great players. Rashford, Eddie Cavani, bro.
Yeah, Rashford and Telles both in training. Cavani's coming back. Amad Diallo, nobody's talking. Everyone's sleeping on Amad. He's coming back. We saw McTominay feature. He is back 100. Dino's off the injury list. So we're getting healthy at a critical time. The only person who did the United podcast, LOL, Phil Jones, throwing shade at everybody. He is out. You know why he is out? He is lacking match fitness. Oh, by the way, there was a video of him playing, I think, for the
23s.
Sir, doesn't he have to be under 23 to play for them?
It doesn't work out.
I don't know, but he was playing for them, and he looked garbage. He looked absolutely atrocious. Phil Jones, he was throwing shade about everyone talking smack on him. I don't know, Phil Jones. I just stay away from Philly. You know,
Phil Jones. He won a Premier League title with Sir Alex Ferguson. Sir Alex Ferguson also famously said that he thought Jones will be remembered as one of the greatest players that he's ever managed. And it just hasn't turned out that way. But Phil Jones is kind of like, you know, it's a mark of the front office and how it's been managed. He never should have gotten a re-up in 19. Are we making the same mistake with Jesse Lingard? Hey, he scored the winner today. He scored a banger. So I don't know what the hell's going on there. But Phil Jones, join that purple Lamborghini, whatever he drives around.
Pink, very, I think it's like
very, very fancy looking.
Yeah, you know, if Phil Jones drove around like, you know, I don't know, like a Buick, you know, you could get behind the guy. But the pink Lambo with Philly Jones.
Bruno drives a Mini. Bruno drives like a Mini.
Exactly.
Phil Jones drives a Lambo. So, yeah.
Exactly. Pogba, Ronaldo, Lambo.
Yeah, I think I have that.
Phil Jones, I don't know, like 1978 Prius. Chevrolet.
That would break down less than Phil Jones.
Exactly. So, look, those are the injuries. What is your lineup, sir? You got Tom Heaton in net. That's all I got to say.
There we go. Tom Heaton. I'm doing it back forward. The low body, Lindelof, Shaw, Matic, Donny van de Beek, and Mata. Jesse Lingard on the left. Martial up front. Greenwood on the right. Who you got, sir?
I'm going to go something similar with that back line. I'm going to say De Gea gets another shout, though. I'm going to say De Gea, Delo, Bailly, Lindelof. Shaw is going to feature. I'm going to do Fred, Donny. Then I'm going to say Bruno. Sancho's going to get a run. Cavani and Greenwood. Just because Greenwood doesn't need to sit. That is a strong enough team to beat him. You have to have De Gea in there. He's going to get some shots.
Yep.
Some rotation, but enough talent to bail us out. It's going to be a tight game. Booking the bookies. West Ham to win plus 500. The draw plus 300. United to win minus 210. This one odds even favor United even more than the original meeting. That is very interesting, sir. What is your score prediction, given we just played them, given the rotation, given the injuries?
Sir, tight one. It's a tight one. It's going to be 1-0. Jesse Lingard gets the winner, and I think he also doesn't celebrate. So maybe he'll celebrate at Old Trafford. Maybe. It's a weird one, huh? Not celebrating? That's a weird one.
I think it... You know, I'm like obviously giving him a bunch of stick because as United fan, you want to be like, you know, like it was a banger. I mean, the goal deserved the celebration from a fan perspective. But given the period of his life he was and how well they treated him and how good he felt about playing in West Ham, he rediscovered his form there. He got back into England there. I think he needed that team. He needed that in that moment. If that helps him with his United career, I could see him having a big spot in his heart for West Ham, because I think at that point there's a lot of personal stuff going on, and West Ham was exactly what he needed to find his form. So,
what you're saying is,
respect.
You gotta respect.
I like that angle.
It's just when you score a banger, you want.
This part of him still might go back to West Ham. To be honest, he could go back as early as January. So,
if he's scoring goals like that, coming off the bench and getting us 3 points away, I do not think he will, sir. United in the news, sir. We got some great news. One of the more disliked coaches in the Premier League, arguing with his fans.
Not by NBC Sports. They love him.
I mean, but come on. You're right. The press does like him.
They love him, bro. They love Super Pep.
Pep. Pep. Cue ball. Pep.
Pep pipping City fans. Hey, why'd you guys show up to a game?
Peppity pep, peppity pep.
This guy. After the
midweek game.
Champions League.
Champions League opener. Home opener.
It's Leipzig. Leipzig.
Who?
I can't pronounce
it. Say it again.
Leipzig. RB Leipzig.
RB. He pleaded.
Let's hear it.
Sir, we call it the empty head. The city is yours. The city is yours. 20,000 empty seats. Are you fucking sure? Pep Guardiola.
I like to watch these kind of games. So if you can give us some more of these games, we'll be happy.
So I would say the last three games we played here, we have scored 16 goals. So I would like to come more people next game on Saturday. We need the people next Saturday, please.
We need the people.
Because we will be tired. So I would like to come more people next game on Saturday. We need the people next Saturday. So I would like to come more people next game on Saturday. We need the people next Saturday, okay. Please. Because we will be tired. I know the team from Ralph is quite similar the way they play.
Sir, the people. I need the people. I need the people. Are you not entertained? Pep Guardiola with a
shot fired.
Shitty fans. Are you not entertained? Are you not? They're just Pep. Well, I hate to break it to you, brother.
They're the worst fans in the league, bro.
They don't exist. They don't exist. They don't exist, sir. The fans, the demand is not there for the seating they have built. They should have built less seats, sir. 54,000 seats in that stadium. They cannot fill it. 74,000 seats at Old Trafford, sir. Season ticket waiting list for a decade. Sold out every goddamn game. I mean, like, you can't put enough seats. You could put another 20,000 in Old Trafford. It's full. Pep, the reason why nobody comes to watch you is because you're owned by an oil-rich nation that just pumps money into your team. But just because you have money, just because you have all those players, just because you're winning some silverware during this period of time does not mean you have the history that Manchester United does or the pull that Manchester United does. It's all fake, sir. How about you start paying actors to come sit in the stadium? Because that seems more about what shitty is about than anything about anything.
They might have to do that for the PSG game just because it would be such an embarrassment to have empty seats when you have Messi
RB
in the house.
Leipzig is a big team.
I know it is. I know it is. And even if we had young boys at home, Old Trafford would be packed.
Sir, he looked at the...
I think Chelsea...
During the interview, looked up at the stands.
Empty seats, bro.
He looked at the empty seats and said, we need the people. And guess how many people were there? 38,000, sir.
20,000 off the drop. Sir, Chelsea can get away with this because they're in London. You can't get away with this in Manchester because, like, you can get the plastics in London, left, right, and center. I think, and they have a smaller stadium,
The
bridge is not 54,000, yes. But I also think there's a London effect. Up in Manchester, that's a train ride. That, you know, it's cold up there. So obviously, and there's only one big club in Manchester. That's Manchester United. It's kind of sad to see that. Like, what, you know, one of the most acclaimed managers. I don't rate him.
No, it's,
people do.
It's good
and
to
he's
see
just
it.
Like, please. Please, fans, come to our games. No. I will personally take you to your seat. It's actually embarrassing.
It's
they're the league holders. They won the league. It's like they had no fans. It's a shame because they're a plastic club that, you know, should they have even be allowed to be propped up by a nation state that has just pumped money in, broken financial fair play, and what do you end up with? You end up with a team that won the league, but they have no fans. So
you can buy players. You
can't buy fans.
You can buy Pep and that bald head, but you can't buy the love of the people. You cannot buy it, sir.
What happened, by the way? How did his call, how were they received by the city, the citizens, as they call themselves? How was
sir,
it received?
I forget the shitty fan, but essentially the secretary of their fan club says, quote, to question the support, which is effectively what he is doing, is disappointing and uncalled for. Does also play into the hands of supporters from other teams who want to take every opportunity to have a go at shitty for what they think are poor attendances. Yes, a lot of our songs, a lot of what we say about shitty, the Etihad, he says, goes on to say, quote, people refer to the Etihad as the Etihad. It's a little bit of fun by the opposition, but there's no justification for it. There is, because you played opening night against RB Leipzig, 38,000, sorry, 15,000 empty seats. It was poor support. This, you don't care. It's a plastic club. You don't have anything. And so Pep hits back at the fans. Pep's arguing with his own fans. And what's amazing about Pep is I actually think he's correct.
He is right.
Hey guys, like,
come to the games.
We're really good. We've won leagues. We're at the height of it. I'm like a legit coach. You need to show up and support me.
Yeah.
And the fans actually going back at him.
Punch then, back at him. Because they're the worst fans in the league, bro.
Exactly.
It's like not even close.
Who is a City fan? That's the point.
Bunch of bums.
Pep hits back in his press conference. Don't put words in my mouth. I don't like it. If I have a problem with the fans, I'll step aside. It's not a problem for me. That's what he said. So he's like, basically like, if you don't like me as your manager, then I'll leave. Great.
Come on over, Pep.
I'll tell you what. Pep Guardiola fighting with the fans in the press is great for business for Manchester United. Get him out. Run him out of town.
That would be great.
Please.
It's great. It'd be like that whole team would fall apart. It would fall apart.
Run Pep out of town. Please, shitty fans. Please. You know, please run him out of town, sir. So you got to have a little. This is just absolutely. You can't make this up. I think with the shitty fans, they know the support is bad. They know the stadium is empty, sir. We always see the photos of the stadium whenever City are warming up or whenever there's a match. All the United fans are posting and laughing. And for Pep to like actually say that he wants more people, like it's hard. It's just like it puts the fans in a bad spot.
Imagine how embarrassing it is for a new player, like you join, like Jack Grealish making his Champions League debut, and this is a big game. Like you said, they're playing RB. That's a semi-final Champions League team a couple of years ago, and they aren't sold out, bro. They won the league. They aren't sold out. They have all these top players on their team. Even if they had Harry Kane, they wouldn't have sold out. If they got Ronaldo, they would have a sold-out stadium, without a doubt. That they would have found another 20,000 for sure, but they didn't get Ronaldo, and they still can't sell their stadium. So don't become a City fan, boys and girls. That's the takeaway from this.
Having a laugh at Pep Guardiola. Absolutely love it, sir. Next bit of news, Manchester United report Q4 earnings. This is the financials that ended June 2021. Manchester United report a total loss, sir. Operating profit of negative £36.9 million. Losing money. Revenue was down $494 million compared to $509 million last year. Obviously, COVID has a huge impact on Manchester United's finances, but the good news for fans is the cash balance is up from $86 million quarter over quarter to $110 million. Obviously, this is June ending. This is before all the transfer business, so the next Q1 financial report would be very critical for Manchester United. Net debt is down because cash is up. And so what we're seeing is the resurgence of fans back into the stadium. Obviously, fans buying all the Ronaldo shirts. This is before the Ronaldo signing. But essentially, once fans come back into stands, that's when their match day revenue is going to start. That's when the cash balance should increase over time. But as we kind of get these earning calls, the picture will become to be more clear. And I'm hoping that this is a big corner turned for Manchester United, sir. We've kind of gotten around the COVID-19 bump, if you will. The way the club was managed going into COVID was abysmal. We ran the money down, the Glazers were taking money out, then the pandemic hit, then it was sort of tight pockets. Now we started seeing the financials turn around. This is probably why we saw some more transfer activity from United. And so hopefully we're going to see this is like an ocean liner. You know, it goes down for 2 years. It comes back. It's going to take a few years to be 100% back, to be doing the 90 million pound signings or 100 million pound signings to get like the likes of Haaland. You know, United with fans in stands, with everything running, they have the money to take, unfortunately, their dividend and buy a Haaland. But to take the dividend when times are poor, that's really where the criticism of the Glazers lie. The $1 billion out, the stadium infrastructure that begs a retrofit a la Madrid, we're dying for it. So, you know, with the team and the financial sort of turning around as fans come back from COVID, hopefully we see the Glazers make better decisions. I think this summer showed investment from them. Murtaugh, being the director of football, should have probably got the defensive midfielder as well. You look at Chelsea adding Sal to the likes of Conte, Kovacic, and Jorginho, looking at where the game is going, how the game is played in the 4-2-3-1, like we saw against West Ham. United needing more depth at CDM or central midfield and not having that. I mean, these are the types of decisions over time that we're going to have to keep an eye on the Glazers. But from the financial picture, this is just the press release, the 20F annual filing, the full filing that will tell us total obligations, debt, etc. That is yet to be filed. It's yet to be finalized. Probably in a week or two, it will hit sec.gov. I will go through it and give you guys the update. But this is a good sign for Manchester United.
The finances have improved versus a year ago. The finances in a year from now will be even better, like you said, as long as they don't shut down stadiums again, which it doesn't look like they're going to do. We're going to have even more cash in our pockets. We should couple that maybe with some silverware, maybe with a nice run in the Champions League, which also helps with how much money you take home at the end of the day. How you finish the league, of course, matters. But I think all things considered, we did weather that COVID bump, if you want to call it that, whatever, a bump, a little more than a bump, the storm, quite well as a club. The transfers that we brought in, you know, if you remember back to that January 20, we got in Bruno right before the shit hit the proverbial fan, as we like to say. And that was a huge coup for us because it pushed this team on in so many different ways. Last year's transfer window was kind of a wash. We got Cavani in. Donny's a non-starter. Ahmad, Facundo, once for the future. But the big summer moves were made this year, this summer. And that was because of our ability to finish the way we did in second and also weather the storm we did in the following the previous summer. So we're in a good position for next year. We've got a solid team. The big question around is, like, you lose Pogba, what do you do there? And then getting a striker in and a CDM. But we're in a better position than we were 12 months ago or even 2 years ago. So finances continue to improve. This club is going to be able to make further investments in the side, in the grounds, in the staff, etc.
The one thing that causes some concern is the future obligations, debt obligations, right? Right now, we have £530 million in debt. A lot of the transfers that we negotiated are over 4 or 5 years, Sancho, Varane, etc., right? And so since we have only $110 million in cash, not a lot, I'm sure we spent a good chunk of that on transfers. And not only that, we maxed the credit card. Hey, we're going to pay you later. And oh, by the way, we have $530 million in debt. So the question is, we really need Manchester United as a business kind of max the credit card. We have everything all in on this team and we expect them to perform. Now, what is the thing that the Glazers are looking to perform? Sir, it is Champions League. You remember us versus Leicester City last day of the season, sir, 1920, or was that 2019-20? It was right after the COVID break. I think it was 2021. I forget the exact year, but we played them on the last day to get Champions League football. We lose that game. The club is fucked financially. Ed Woodward probably fired on the spot, honestly. That's how bad the financial situation was. Us making top four that year, going on that run, that was the difference between the club literally having to restructure the balance sheet, Ed Woodward probably being fired and not. I mean, it came down to one game. That's the type of Russian roulette the ownership played with this club. And that's kind of where they need to be making some more responsible financial decisions and so dealing with the debt, raising more money, investing in the stadium. I want to see them to actually do right by this team, the fan forums, etc. And that record is going to take time to correct, and I don't expect it to be corrected. So I'll be the first one here to call it. Cautious optimism around the finances. I really just think the Glazers are looking to get the thing humming again to sell. I don't think they're looking to actually fix Old Trafford and really give a shit what the fans think. I don't think that's what they're in this for. This is literally a trust fund for them. They're going to use it to reap the rewards going forward, and they're not really focused on us winning titles, just Champions League, because that's $100 million a year.
But our priorities are aligned at the current moment, and that's that they want to return Manchester United to the pantheons of European football. And until we start winning, that's what they want. You would think they want to do that if they want to maximize their ability to sell this club for as much as possible, return it to a Champions League winner, return it to the Premier League title winner. And if they can do that, it's going to certainly boost their exit value of this club. Or if they're going to just do the minimum viable thing, which is get Champions League football each season, we will see. Next summer is going to be a big statement of that. Obviously, it's going to depend on how the team performs, what progress we make in the league, if we take home some silver or not. Questions will be asked and answered about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So a lot to find out in the coming months.
And who replaces Ed Woodward, sir? You know, he had like a big farewell call saying he did such a great job for Manchester United. Like, again, just remember, he did such a bad job running Manchester United. He ran the cash balance into the ground. That's when the global pandemic hit. We were absolutely screwed, and we made Champions League on the last day. That's not how you run a $3 billion company, sir. That's not how you run a $3 billion company. Ed Woodward, complete Muppet. Sir, we have run long. We have some fan questions we needed to get into. What do you think the fans are saying about today's game?
There could be some whinging. So maybe some whinging about the ref fairly. You know, we did it ourselves. I think people are going to be generally happy. You know, we took home a big win, even though it wasn't very pretty, but win's a win, and I think that's all that matters.
All right, at Jamal Mota, quote, "Woo, sirs, world number one without a doubt. De Gea saved us 2 points. Ref was horrible. Ronaldo is inevitable. Ole sub saved us the win, and Jesse looks determined to carve out space for himself in this squad. Curious to see rotation once Eddie and Rashi are fit. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag Glazers out, sir." Great point. Ole subs saved us. We're not giving Ole any credit. I think that's ugly start, the McFred midfield, but his subs did save us. The Matic, the Jesse, they won us the game.
I mean, damned, you know, sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. No one would have talked about the subs last week, this midweek, if Lingard didn't give away the winner with the last kick of the ball. Today, They went right. Maybe they should have been a little earlier. Maybe the Matic one. Maybe that was the real stuff that made the difference. He did pick out the pass. Obviously, Jesse's got everything to do. But, hey, he clearly values Lingard. He put him in. He didn't put Martial in. He didn't put Donny van de Beek in. He played him for a reason, and he did score a banger. So hats off to non-celebrating Jesse Lingard.
At Ty Kircher, quote, "What a last 5 minutes of emotions. What can we do about the pattern? We play well. The opponent scores. We respond. We win. I mean, I'm not complaining about 3 points, but the lads really need to control a game from start to finish. Ronaldo, Dave Saves, world number one, and Jesse Lingard, sir. He has a gif of having a heart attack. I mean, what is it about Ole's teams that just don't have it from minute one? I mean, we're the comeback kings, but we start and we like to shoot ourselves in the foot, then get back in the game. Is there anything that can be done there, sir?
I think it's a combo of mentality and maybe Ole not always getting the 11 right. I don't think I got the 11 right today with that McFred combo, but it's also the mentality needs to just grit it out, you know, take those hits on the chin. I thought we weathered the storm. Once they scored on us off a deflected goal, we did respond well, but you have to have that conviction. And I think that will come with maturity and winning. I think, like, we need some winning underneath our wings, and that will give this team a lot more confidence. The fact that we didn't even bring home what we talked about in Gdansk, I'm not going to relive it, but we need to start winning stuff. That will help.
At CR7 is home, quote, "Lads found a way. There's no slouch of a team we just beat. The boys kept pushing it in Fergie time. Tough breaks on the whistle with Marty Atkinson doing his best. Mike Dean impersonation. Dave Saves. Hashtag Glazers out." And at Rolling Deep 1995, 3 points. All that we needed and all that we want. CR7 added again. We struggled for periods and just could not break West Ham down, but upstepped Jay Lings and silenced the whole stadium. I mean, that is a hell of a goal he scored.
Banger.
Some bullshit refereeing on display, but David De Gea is the GOAT. On we go to West Ham. I'm sure the second time around is not going to be as thrilling as that one, sir. Ball don't lie.
Ball don't lie, and we'll say it all day. Amazing what happens when you actually win the game versus not win the game or draw the game, and how much the sentiment is so much better just because David De Gea with a huge one. But all 3 points, all about the feels today, kicking on to the EFL Cup midweek. We got downloads. What song are we playing this week, sir?
Sir, as far as winning goes, you play to win the game. Doesn't matter how it looks as long as you win. This is a results-based game. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you know. I'll tell you what. You can lose ugly. That's Young Boys. You can win ugly. That's West Ham. Get it done. On to the next one. Put it on the board. Manchester United till we die, sir. Team looks like they're riding high. Let's get into it. Really appreciate everyone who downloads the podcast. Thank you for all your support, all the banter, sir, for fans, by fan. That's what we're about. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Our website, too, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. Drop a review on iTunes, sir. Give them our top 10 cities last 7 days.
So number one, how you doing? How you doing? New York, New York. Appreciate you. Philadelphia, PA. Burlingame, California. Kathmandu, Nepal. Dublin, Ireland. They're back. Fukuoka, Japan, baby. Let's go. Appreciate you. Kitchener, Canada, San Mateo, California, Aptos, California, and last but not least, Stamford, Connecticut. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Come on, win ugly, win pretty. I can go for some win pretty. It's been a minute since the Newcastle game.
Let's focus on concentration for minute one, organization. I just want to sit on the couch, goal first 20 minutes, kind of hang out, enjoy it. United, easy game. I know I'm not getting it, sir. We're going to leave you with every one of us loves Sir Alex Ferguson. We could use some Sir Alex back at Old Trafford these days. Everyone have a great week. On to West Ham, the Amas.